O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Praise to you, O Christ.
O all works of the Lord, bless the Lord.
Praise Him and magnify Him forever.
O angels of the Lord, bless the Lord.
O heavens, bless the Lord.
O waters above the skies, bless the Lord.
O powers of the Lord, bless the Lord.
O sun and moon, bless the Lord.
O stars of heaven, bless the Lord.
Praise Him and magnify Him forever.
O showers and dew, bless the Lord.
O winds of God, bless the Lord.
O fire and heat, bless the Lord.
O winter and summer, bless the Lord.
O dews and frost, bless the Lord.
O frost and cold, bless the Lord.
O ice and snow, bless the Lord.
O nights and days, bless the Lord.
Light and darkness, bless the Lord.
O lightning and clouds, bless the Lord.
O let the earth bless the Lord.
O mountains and hills, bless the Lord.
O all works of the Lord, bless the Lord.
Praise Him and magnify Him forever.
O all green things on earth, bless the Lord.
O wells and springs, bless the Lord.
O seas and rivers, bless the Lord.
O whales and all that move the seas, bless the Lord.
O all birds that fly in the air, bless the Lord.
O all animals and cattle, bless the Lord.
O children of men, bless the Lord.
O Israel, bless the Lord.
O priests of the Lord, bless the Lord.
O servants of the Lord, bless the Lord.
O spirits and souls of the righteous, bless the Lord.
O holy and humble hearts, bless the Lord.
Let us bless the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Praise Him and magnify Him forever.
Oh, A reading from the fifth book of Moses called Deuteronomy, the eighth chapter. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the hills, the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. May God be gracious to us and bless us.
And make his face to shine upon us.
That your way may be known on earth.
Your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has yielded its increase.
God, our God, shall bless us.
God shall bless us.
Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be, world without end. Amen.
God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the fourth chapter. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God, except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our text for this evening's meditation is from the Gospel lesson, verse 19. Then Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And this is God's word. You may be seated. I'm trying to figure out, is there a way to turn this thing on?
Yeah, there's a little knob.
It's a pleasure to be with you folks today. I've been with you at various times, Pastor Heinz's funeral, Don Collagio's ordination. Some of you with long memories might remember that. What a blessing day that was. I got a few former members from churches I pastored here tonight, so they all turned out and they put the tomatoes away. It's good to be with you, and pray that God blesses you as you gather this Thanksgiving Eve. I had a real lesson taught to me when I was pastor at the Lutheran Church in Holyoke, First Lutheran. The principal at the time and his wife had me over for dinner. And at the end of the dinner, dessert was being served. Joanne is the name of the wife, was getting the dessert out and putting the whipped cream on it. And she sat it down in front of me, and I picked up my fork to dive in. And I noticed that nobody else was picking up their fork to dive in. So I had the presence of mind to stop. And I was taught in that evening at the Albers house that the way you show gratitude and respect is you wait for the one who served the dessert to sit down and lift his or her fork. Only then do you lift your fork. You don't go ahead. How many of you do that? Are you already there? I mean, I'd been a pastor for a few years before I figured this out, and it was thanks to the Albers. So then we expanded that in our family, that gratitude at mealtime, we don't eat until the one who prepared the food sits down and picks up her fork. We don't pray, or we don't eat until we thank the ones, and we pray. We thank the one who gives us daily bread. The tenth leper doesn't begin to enjoy his transformed life until he's acknowledged the one who gave him the gift. 10 lepers were healed, but the Bible says only one was made well. We're going to look at the difference between being healed and being made well tonight. So what is that difference? How do we know if we're made well or simply healed? And this story gets to the heart of the effect of God's grace on the life of a person. You might recall the story. I just read it. Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem. He's between Samaria and Galilee. Here's this band of lepers, unclean and outcast. They plea for healing, but they also keep their distance. That was the rule back then. And Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the local priest. That's how it worked. If the priest said you were clean, you were clean. He was not the doctor, but he was the adjudicator of these sort of things. Jesus promises by implication that they will be cleansed, they will be healed. And so as they travel, they are. I wish it was that easy today, huh? When one of them notices healing, he turns back in gratitude, and he postponed the gratification. Isn't that interesting how those words connect, gratitude and gratification? He turns back in gratitude. He postpones his own gratification of the priest declaring him clean, of rejoining the community he so longed to be a part of, but his leprosy kept him away from. Instead, he returns to Jesus, and he falls at his feet in a posture of thankful, humble worship. In a lot of sermons about this gospel lesson, the other nine would be castigated. But I want to suggest to you, they did nothing wrong. In fact, they did exactly what they were told to do, and they were healed. They didn't do anything wrong. They received the blessing that was promised. They followed the rules, and they received the reward. So here were what the rules were. Go to the compassionate, miracle-working rabbi and do whatever he tells you. That's pretty straightforward, huh? Two good rules. Go to the rabbi, do what he says. They got what they asked for. They followed the rules, they got what they asked for, and nothing more. They reflect a life with God that some of us pursue today. If I keep the rules, whatever the rules might be, the Ten Commandments, the rules of my church, whatever rules I think I'm following in life, then God owes me. He has to pay up. I've kept my side, and he has to pay up on his side. But the danger, of course, is that relationship with God becomes transactional. A contract where if I do my part, now God has to do his part. I've talked to a lot of angry Christians who thought they did their part and that God let them down. Have you ever met anybody like that? Angry because God didn't do what they thought was his part of the bargain. But relationship with God that becomes transactional is not the relationship that God wants to have with you or me. It's not the family relationship with our Father in heaven or with his Son. It's really a consumer relationship. I do X and you, God, then are obliged to do Y. A consumer relationship isn't bad in many circumstances. It's often necessary and it's often useful. I have a consumer relationship with my grocery store. Maybe you do too. I greet the employees I interact with. I'm friendly. I like them. I thank them for their assistance. But I don't go to the grocery store because of them. I go to the grocery store for price, for the freshness of the food, and for the convenience of the store to where I live. If I find a store that does better on price, food, or convenience, I'm out of there because it's a transactional consumer relationship. But that's not the relationship that God wants to have with you and me. He doesn't want a transactional relationship. He desires a covenant relationship, a relationship of self-sacrificing commitment to the beloved. Covenant relationships are the most intimate and self-giving relationships there are among humans. The covenant of marriage, in which two people give themselves to each other, you know how it goes, right? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death parts us. The Bible describes God's relationship with us as a marriage. God is the groom, and we are the bride. God's grief over our sin-broken lives is often expressed as a husband whose wife is unfaithful, Jeremiah 3. Surely, as a treacherous wife leaves her husband, you have been treacherous to me, declares the Lord. So God uses this kind of covenant language to describe how committed he is to us and how much he loves us. He uses husband and wife language. Again in Jeremiah, they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. In the New Testament, he uses father and children, which is another covenant relationship. This is Romans 8, Paul speaking. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. To have this kind of relationship with God as your Father in heaven is the greatest joy. God began his covenant with you probably before you knew it. If you were baptized as an infant like I was wet before I was a believer. God used the baptism, and without any merit or worthiness on our part, God welcomes us into his family. He calls us his own dear children. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us faith. He forgives our sins. When you came out of the baptismal water, you were made well. That's the wording that Jesus uses when he describes the effect of grace on the 10th leper. When that last leper returns to Jesus, he was demonstrating that there was a deeper healing than just a recovery of broken skin and ruined body from this disease of leprosy. There was not just his body healed that day, but his soul as well. And how do we know that? He said, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Spiritually transformed. That's what the word well means. Scripture calls faith and its effect in your life as actually making you well. And there's two different words used here that clue us in on the fact that this just wasn't just a healing. The leprosy healing is termed cleansed. They were cleansed. And the Greek word there is katarizo. But the soul healing, when Jesus says your faith has made you well, it's a different word. He doesn't use the same word for healing. He uses a word called sozo. Excuse me. He uses the word sozo, which means literally to be saved from destruction. A whole different impact in that word than in the word about the healing from the leprosy. The mark of sozo, the mark of being saved, is gratitude. It's the evidence of what's happened inside. It's recognizing and giving thanks to God. It's the key sign of spiritual wholeness. Have you ever noticed just how powerful it is not simply to receive a blessing, but also to name it and to thank and honor the one who gave it? I experienced that firsthand years ago at a wedding. One of the churches I served, one of the gals in the church, married an Australian man. And so he brought with him some Australian Christian practices to the wedding. In most American weddings, of course, the best man and the maid of honor give speeches at the reception, right? And they'll tell stories of how they got to know the best man or the maid of honor, and on it goes. Very different at an Australian wedding. The centerpiece of the reception was not the speeches and the toast of the best man and the maid of honor, but speeches that the bride and the groom made to their new in-laws. I want you to follow. You following that? Bride and groom each made speeches addressing the parents of the person they just married. And here's what they did. The groom expressed his deep gratitude to the bride's parents. He praised them for their wise and compassionate parenting, for the inner beauty and radiance of their daughter, which he attributed to their wholesome leadership in the family. He thanked them for welcoming him into their family, and he promised to honor and care for their daughter. Can you imagine how many tears there were at that point? Then the bride, in turn, thanked and praised the groom's parents for raising their son with high values, courage, a strength of character for which she was deeply grateful. She praised the groom's parents for their love and acceptance shown to her. And she promised to them that she would honor and care for their son. Whew. That's called gratitude. In all the weddings I have officiated, I've never seen such an outpouring of gratitude as what the bride and the groom did for their in-laws. They gave thanks. Here's the key. They gave thanks to the source of the gift, right? If the gift was a spouse, they thanked the ones who prepared that spouse to be the gift that they became. You see, gratitude is always a sign of a healthy soul. Gratitude is the noblest emotion. It draws us out of ourselves. It points us to the thing that is larger, bigger, grander than we could imagine, because it points us not simply to the blessing, the thing given, but to the source of the blessing. And it's also a powerful emotion. It frees us from fear and it releases us from anxiety. Gratitude has power in it. The Samaritan leper returned to Jesus in a Holy Spirit-inspired attitude of deep gratitude. And he realized that Jesus had given him dignity and honor beyond what anything in the world could have given him. He'd been treated better by Jesus than a Samaritan or a leper or even a healed leper. Jesus had treated him as a child of God, making him whole and accepted and loved. And do you know, that's what Jesus has done for you. It's what Jesus has done for you. He's entered into a covenant relationship with each of you before you ever knew him or cared about him. And at the cross, he took the terminal leprosy of your sin, and he endured its ravages. And his relationship with you has never been transactional. It's always been covenantal. He loves you as a father loves his children, as a husband loves his wife. And at the cross, he gave everything he had to gain you and to give you the greatest healing you will ever experience. He gave you God's rich, ongoing forgiveness and the certainty of God's love for you now and forever. And so today we remember what God did in the heart of the 10th leper. The difference between katarizo and sozo, between being cleansed and being made well. Jesus Christ doesn't just heal you, he makes you well.
Amen.
Let us pray. And so, Lord, we are so grateful. What you did for us that day on Calvary's Hill, and how you have continued to love us despite our wanderings from you, are deeply, deeply touching. We pray that you would continue to confirm the work of the Spirit in our lives, cause us to love and trust in you more and more, because you, O Lord, are not transacting this thing. You are committed to us. Help our hearts to be filled with joy at the level of your love, and help us to respond to you as dear children to their dear Father in heaven. In your name, Lord, we pray.
Amen. Amen.
We rise. We're going to read the Apostles' Creed and its meaning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean?
I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land and animals and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all dangers and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Lord,
have mercy.
Christ,
have mercy.
Lord,
have mercy.
Our
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Almighty God, your mercies are new every morning, and you graciously provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
For the richness of his creation and for his grace that sustains what he has made, for the natural resources that support our daily lives, and for the good fruit of the earth by which we and all creatures are fed and nourished, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the law that protects us against harm, shows us our sin, and guides us into all that is good and pleasing to the Lord. For the gospel that shows us our Savior Jesus Christ, through whom we enjoy forgiveness and life. Let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the freedoms we enjoy in our land, for those who hold high positions in our nation and communities, and for peaceful and quiet lives that enable us to live as God's people, to extend his kingdom to others, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the Holy Spirit and the gifts of Holy Scripture, Holy Baptism, Holy Absolution, and Holy Communion, for all pastors, missionaries, teachers, musicians, church workers, and fellow Christians who have taught us, prayed for us, supported us in the Christian faith, and encouraged us to receive Christ's body and blood and lead godly lives, for our life together in this congregation, and for our unity in doctrine and practice, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For those who care for the sick, the elderly, the unborn, and the needy, for medicine and the medical arts, for the health and healing we receive here, and for the resurrection of the body and the greater healing still to come, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the fruits of the Spirit that God has already begun to work in us, and for the promise that he will bring those fruits to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. For even the smallest and weakest fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that have been shown to us and grow in us, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For our vocations and occupations, for the gift of labor and the privilege of enjoying the fruits of our labor, for neighbors and family members to love and serve, and who love and serve us, for hands, hearts, and minds, for creativity and making that spring from us, and for the privilege to bring our needs and the needs of others before the throne of grace, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In all things, O Lord, in faithful remembrance of the saints who went before us, for grace to rejoice in the mercies the Lord showed to them in their lives, and for the promised day of reunion, when the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we shall join them in everlasting light and life, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In all things, O Lord, grant to us grace not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but to honor you above all, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. On our own we have nothing that will endure, but you have granted to us all things in Christ and the life that does not end. Hear your people for the sake of and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with whom, in whom, and through whom all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, All good counsels and all just works give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.